This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're hearing Kobe White chants from the fans that have made the trip over to Ball Arena. The Bulls fans are chanting Kobe White's name.
That's super cool. Kobe White deserves to have his name chanted. It's Mully and Haw on the score. And that, of course, is the Bulls last night. The Bulls with yet another victory. And they handled Denver minus the Joker pretty well.
Yeah,
they won that game. It was a very exciting and fun game.
They rose to the occasion. I mean, Denver without Jokic is a different team.
Yes.
But they still a very good team. And you're at the end of a long road trip, you would expect maybe the Bulls to have a built-in excuse for not playing well. But they played as well as they have on this road trip, and they return home having won 8 of their last 10. Coming in hot, they've got the Lakers Thursday night and Kobe White back-to-back Eastern Conference Player of the Week. That hasn't happened since Michael Jordan. That's big in this town. That's big in that league. Kobe White has emerged now as an elite scorer. Josh Giddey is a guy that has, since the All-Star break, been a triple-double machine that you can. You're going to want to invest in him to keep him around.
Yep.
You've got Montas developing at the rate
that you bought the Montas stock yet?
Yeah.
There you go.
Gobble it up.
Kendall Gill.
Gobble it up. Get that modest stock while you can. And then the fourth component of that will be the player they draft, wherever they draft. Those are going to be, I think, your building blocks for this next Bulls team. How many players on this team right now do you think will still be here when the Bulls, when the Bulls win a playoff series?
Wow. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like we talked about it, Kobe's turning into an all-star before our eyes. That's how you get to an all-star game.
You keep him here?
You got to keep him
here. You don't trade him in the offseason?
No, I would not.
Now, people will ask because of his contract.
Because his contract.
Because of this.
Because you've made everyone available. So it's weird to me because the Bulls aren't doing White Sox-style teardown. They're not just looking for the draft pick, which the Sox could finally get the first overall pick this year because they are clearly the worst team in baseball. The Bulls aren't. The Bulls are pretty good. The Bulls are in the terrible Eastern Conference, and they're keeping it together, and they're playing a fun style of basketball. I like watching this team. And, you know, I know I'm not supposed to like that because but when you hear Mark Malone say that they are – maybe the best running team in the league, That is a tribute to Billy Donovan and what he's done this year.
And before and after the game, yeah, the Nuggets coach Mike Malone said that they're the best running team in the league. And that was a compliment coming from a guy whose opinion you respect. And his
championship winning coach.
Yeah. So, and what we have talked about, and I think you and I have tried to be consistent with this, much to the chagrin of some people, but Billy Donovan is an outstanding coach and has done a terrific job with this team after changing the style of play dramatically.
Yeah, yeah.
This Bulls team goes up and down the floor. They shoot threes like the Celtics.
It's different altogether.
They don't make threes like the Celtics.
No, there's the problem. They don't have like 7-foot guys taking them from the outside. Well, I guess they do in Vooch.
Do you think Zach Collins is a keeper?
I don't know, but I mean, right now, I think you're going to transition away from Vooch.
Vooch is probably going to be moved in the offseason.
I believe that.
I think we probably agree on that. Kevin Huerter, is he going to be here?
That's a really good question. I think he's good enough. I think he's used differently, and he's able to shoot more, and he could be a valuable piece. He's a piece. He's not a guy. Like
he's a role player.
He is.
But in an offense that's designed to shoot the three and play with pace, he's a guy that is valuable in that capacity.
But I don't know that you can afford him because of the price of playing poker. It's going up so much. So, you know, he's the kind of guy you'd like to sign. Ditto the guard, but, you know.
Trey Jones?
Yeah.
TJ?
You want him.
Jonesy.
Don't you want a Jonesy?
Yes.
I love
You're
that
jonesing
nickname.
For a point guard that can run play with pace.
Yes, definitely. I got a basketball Jones.
And a basketball high IQ, as high as his. Lonzo's coming back, team-friendly deal. Io's coming back, maybe on the market. Hard to trade injured.
Yeah, that's true.
Hard to trade injured.
Yep.
And so you look at Julian Phillips, Dalen Terry, guys who are draft picks.
Yeah, they're guys that have been around and they're fitting in. I mean, they got some good things going for them. Talked about Dalen Terry.
Yeah, last night.
It was extraordinary that he was out there playing. He actually knocked down some threes.
Four threes.
It wasn't just videotaping.
I know. It was more than just cheerleading.
Yes.
He was actually hitting shots and making other people cheer.
I did think that wasn't going to work out.
I didn't either.
There you go.
And maybe it still won't. I don't know. But he has been a player of late that has contributed in a way that has been productive. You like to see him playing both ends of the floor. And it's just a lot of fun to see the Bulls playing together, team basketball, unselfishly moving the ball around the court. Doesn't matter who's taking the shots and Coby White hitting from 30. That helps.
312-644-6767. We got our buddy John. He's on the road. Hey, John. How are you, pal?
Good morning, gentlemen. You know what, guys? It has been a very, very long time since I said I'm excited to go see that Bulls game Thursday night. My wife and I just can't wait. I mean, we've been watching the game, and we're like, what the heck have they put in the Gatorade in for the Chicago Bulls? Because that move that they put on Luka the other night, I was like, usually that's done to the Bull.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just a fascinating, exciting moment to be able to see them do that to LeBron at home. I can't wait to see it. I have one last thing, guys.
Okay.
And I'm just switching up. As a White Sox fan, I just can't gather myself to pay to watch this team this year, and if I'm wrong, I don't know, but it just seems like I just can't do it. I want to do it, and I'm probably going to do it, but just right now I'm fighting it so bad. Help me understand this, guys.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call.
It's a great call, John.
Well, it's early. Maybe he'll feel differently when baseball, it feels like baseball season, and you're not going to compel anybody to show up in 50-degree weather on Thursday at the rate. Might be a good show, though.
They will be packed Thursday at the rate.
Opening day?
Yes, yeah. I know a lot of people that are going, and I think a lot of people are excited about going, and there's a lot of action
going on.
It's going
to be warmish.
I mean, it's a nice day for a birthday cake shake, right? We have the campfire is not alone. So I think
I'm kind of excited. The rumor is that it might be some food at the Chicago lead tonight.
Oh, really?
Oh.
You know, I'm very curious about
back over
there's some
the
Korean
show?
Barbecue going on now.
I'm in.
Oh, I'm all
spicy
over that.
Spicy chicken sandwich.
Let's do it.
How about some birthday cake milkshake?
We got to do it. We got to go to that Japanese restaurant that is so well thought of as a show.
Okay.
And then, Dustin, you make sure Mitch gets that bill.
And then can we go to that that diner you want me to go to on the west side, in the west slope?
Oh, my God. We have got to, get you that. We got to get you the chicken Caesar wrap.
Got to get there. Yeah, okay.
I'm telling you. You're
trying to add like 10 pounds to me.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to keep you healthy. I'm
trying to be swell.
That is a healthy, it's a healthy, good sandwich.
Well,
and I was talking about it, and I really like the place. And then Marshall tells me, well, you know, I wouldn't want the wrap part. And I'm kind of like, it keeps the thing together.
Well, you know, those TV guys got to, you know.
Don't let me in there.
Fit people drive me crazy, including you.
I drive you crazy.
You can't enjoy.
I enjoy
the great campfire shake.
Oh, I can enjoy a campfire shake. I enjoy birthday shake.
Birthday cake shake.
I would enjoy any food they want to bring from the rate to the United Center today for the Chicago lead tonight at 6 o'clock. I'm in.
Sadly, I don't think we have that relationship with the Sox anymore.
I'll bring some
as the home of the Cubs. I love Brooks Boyer, but he's not going to send me a shake.
I'll bring some
That's
tomorrow.
Okay.
Some leftovers. But John is entitled to wait as long as he wants to get excited about the Sox season, if that ever comes at all. It's going to be a rough go.
Look at their lineup, and honestly, we'll know what it is on Thursday. That's how they're playing this thing, which to me is crazy because it's Tuesday. I mean, literally, they're going to add players that are going to be starting.
Will Venable doesn't know what he's working with yet.
Will Venable.
Is that conceivable?
I got a lot of high hopes for him. I think he's a really bright guy. I've enjoyed when we had him on our conversation. I'm not sure that anyone can work magic.
Let's have him on again.
Yeah,
let's try to have him on again.
Why don't you get yourself?
Let's get that guy on again.
Dustin.
He's a good representative.
Who do we have tomorrow? We got Ozzy, right?
We got Ozzy. Ozzy's back. Ozzy's back in town.
Love Ozzy.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Ozzy's back with us tomorrow.
And then are we going to talk to Stoney? We usually have Stoney
on Thursday.
Thursday, Steve Stone.
Oh, gosh. This is fun.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
I like it.
I'm almost excited about Sean Burke on opening day.
John Heyman, TBD.
Yeah, I'm excited about him, too, on opening day, just because he's the guy who's on opening day.
Davis Martin had a nice final outing in the Cactus League.
Davis Martin. Explain to me why, but I hear the name Davis Martin, and I want to drink a martini.
Well, because it sounds very distinguished.
Okay.
Davis Martin sounds like a distinguished gentleman, and you want to drink a martini, shaken, not stirred.
I swear to God, when I hear that name, I don't know why.
You do.
Ooh, martini.
I think it could.
Yeah, let's get.
Martini night.
We could
there you
do,
go, Brooks.
I mean, I could even do like a vodka martini. I don't even need the gin.
I think a vodka martini would be fine.
Couple of olives.
Save the olives.
It's like having a meal, bro.
You got to have a blue cheese stuffed olive.
Ironic
thing is I really like olives, but I don't like them in my martinis.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy to me.
An onion?
I couldn't go for a third
In a martini?
Too much.
Now, save the fruit or save the vegetable. Thank you.
If you have a martini, it is like someone sawing off the top of your head and giving you a brain massage.
I like, the kind of martinis I like.
Yeah. More of a sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
You got a secret, sweet thing going.
I like the sweet stuff. Yeah. If a blue martini, a red martini, a colored martini, I'll drink it.
Years ago, I remember standing in line behind you at Starbucks and overhearing your order and just like, basically attacking you for it.
You did. You snuck up behind me.
You want like the coffee martini.
He was eavesdropping on my order.
I did. It happened.
And I ordered a pumpkin spice latte.
That was what it was.
And you made fun of me for what now? 15 years.
Did you order a certain temperature?
No. No, that's Mully.
That's not Mully. That's Dan Pompey.
I was going to say
Dan always orders it like 45 degrees or something. I don't know what it was. But he had a very distinct kind of metro order.
Lattes to martinis, the espresso martini at the United Center, which we also sampled before the basketball season. Oh, boy, those go down good.
Like $75?
We should get
I don't know.
We should get one for Mitch.
I didn't buy one.
He's the expensive
I was sampling
drinker.
One. By the way, Mully.
Martini at the United Center has got to be like $75.
Word from the Chicago Sports Network staff and management.
Oh, wow.
You are welcome to come over for a shake if you like.
Look at this.
Mully's invited.
Wow. You know, I got to be honest with you. The one thing about most parties is that Mully's never invited. You want to have a good party? Keep
well,
me away
from it.
Here's
the thing. Here's the thing, though. If you would have a shake, then you would want to have... You would sample the food, and you would want to take a nap immediately after you eat all that food.
That is so true. I will show up with like a little hammock, and then Mully will have a nice nap while you're doing the show.
Well, let's hope that Thursday, the highlight of the day, and it conceivably could be because the food is so good out there, but you don't want the highlight of the day to be the food.
I got
to
be honest with you. Like, it is a treat to go out there. Do they still have the taco place? They had the tacos there. Oh, my God. Are those outstanding?
They're outstanding. Everything I've had at the rate is top shelf. The problem is that the menu is more impressive than the lineup.
Well, I mean, it's that's like, I mean, honestly, I hope they show some Birmingham games because I'm really interested in that pitching staff in Birmingham. I don't know how to feel about what's going on in Charlotte because your double play combination is going to be down there. Not in the major league.
Well, since we're talking Sox, and we'll get to Casey Johnson 825 when we get back to the Bulls.
I brought it up.
But the Sox really, I felt like it was a surprise that Mydroth is going to start the season at AAA Charlotte.
I totally agree.
Because, as we said during the pick six, first it was Colson Montgomery, this is your job to lose. And he lost it.
Yeah.
And now it was Chase Mydroth.
That was, you know, back issues.
Back spasms.
Yes.
He's not ready. You don't want to rush him.
No.
We understand. But now Chase Mydroth was supposedly going to be the opening day shortstop, and it was his job to lose. I suppose he lost it. I guess when they go down to AAA, who's playing short? Is it going to be Colson Montgomery and Mydroth at second?
That's got to be it.
How long before both of those, one of those, either of those, are in Chicago?
I think both of them, it's this year. And we've talked about this. Like, you know, in previous seasons when you knew guys were coming, it was like you had opening day – and then you had the day they show up. Like, Colson Montgomery Day in a month will be a fun one to go to for Sox fans.
The uncomfortable topic for the White Sox when it pertains to
childhood schoolboy legends from Indiana should go to that game, too. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I know. See, I've got to get you past the idea that I like Colson Montgomery, and not just because he's from Indiana. I do think he's a promising prospect, and not just because he's a native Hoosier. All right. He has got some skills that you like, but I do wonder this. You said this, and Ozzie has said this. Looking forward to asking him this tomorrow.
Yes.
Ultimately, does Colson Montgomery have to change positions?
He's a third baseman in my world.
Well, then it's a problem then because Miguel Vargas is going to be your opening day third baseman for the White Sox, and he is a prospect you acquired from the Dodgers in the Kopech deal.
I'm very curious about what he can do.
And if he's your guy.
He was terrible. I'm just saying. He
hit 105.
He wasn't very good.
He hit 105.
But
he's had a good spring.
Guys change. They grow. They mature. They fit into position. So is now you're saying he's blocking Colson Montgomery?
He could be. Your guy, Chuck Garfine, was on Chicago Lead last night. We asked him to name two players that had good springs. Luis Robert Jr. was number one,
and
Miguel Vargas was number two.
Did you see he just hit his fourth homer yesterday?
He looks like a guy good enough to be traded.
Player. Yeah, that's the problem. Because you want to go out there, and he's worth watching. But how long is he going to be with them? And everybody knows it, and he knows it. He changed agents.
Well, maybe that's why he's playing at the level he's playing
at. Let's hope so.
Maybe he's trying to hit his way out of town.
That would be awesome.
Well, if Crochet got you three prospects, Luis Robert Jr. should get the same.
I believe he'll get you two good prospects, and it used to be one. But I believe he's going to play well enough. But then, you know, I thought that he was going to be the starting center fielder in the All-Star game last year, especially when Trout went down. And I honest to God, thought that was going to happen.
Well, both guys are going to be on the field Thursday at the rate. Mike Trout in right field for the Angels.
Yeah.
Luis Robert Jr. in center field for the White Sox. Mike Trout in right field is his new position.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if he can start and stay in the lineup for nine innings so Dustin can maybe get out there and see him.
Did you see he and Ohtani had a big conversation the other day?
I did not.
There were great photos of the two of them together kind of, you know, chatting it up.
What was the context? Spring training
game? I think they had a spring training game, but it was fun to see them together.
The Dodgers are playing spring training games again?
Because
aren't they jet-lagged?
He struck him out in that World Classic. I don't think you remember it.
I do remember it.
It was really the coming out party for Ohtani.
I do remember it. I do do not recall seeing the Ohtani Trout meetup yesterday, though.
It might have been 2 days ago.
Okay.
I mean, it's just...
I thought Ohtani was spending all weekend in bed because he was tired from the Japanese trip because of all the emotional toll it took on his time demands.
Like I said, it's Babe Ruth went to Japan. He's like a national hero. Everybody... They set records selling jerseys and such, and a lot of people buying his jersey because you can't have enough of them.
But I don't recall seeing stories about the Dodgers being worried about his endurance now because he was such a big deal during the trip home.
They won, and it was a celebration, and they had a nice flight home.
They're 2-0.
We saw them land.
They're 2-0.
They're 2-0.
Yeah.
The Cubs, not so much.
So, but I'm not supposed to pay attention to that. So, 1-2.
Well, I mean, honestly,
means nothing.
It was a home game for the Cubs, but it was a homecoming game for the Dodgers.
I love that you say that, you know, 0-2, pay no attention to it, don't overreact. But you have a question in the pick six you submitted that you, how bad is the Cubs 13-4 loss to the Braves in the Cactus League?
Oh, it was more detailed than that. It was about their relief pitching giving up home runs.
It might have been, is the season over because the Cubs lost 13-4 to the Braves.
I didn't say the season was over.
Not in the Cactus League, by the way. We want facts, just the facts.
That's what
not
do you
the
mean?
The Braves are not part of the Cactus League. The Braves are moving west. What do you mean?
Well,
it's a technicality.
True.
Cactus League is Arizona baseball.
He meant that doesn't count. Spring training game, a game that doesn't count. But the question was more.
Suddenly he's a stickler.
I don't know. No one uses my questions.
Suddenly he's a stickler.
Oh, look at him.
The first three questions and the extra point were your questions today.
Okay. But, you know, we are in
it's
competition, and I want five.
That's more than half.
All right, Casey Johns is coming up.
We're going to talk to Casey. Oh, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.
And now, KC Johnson.
Kobe White, pull up three, over carries the vert and nails it.
Chicago Bulls insider from Chicago Sports Network.
I've covered the NBA for a long time.
KC Johnson with Mully and Haw.
Bulls.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our friend Casey Johnson. He joins us on the Aturo Hotline. And it's spring, and now's the time for spring tires. Aturo.com. KC, how are you?
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Oh, God bless you. You're traveling all over God's green earth, and you're kind enough to jump on. Boy, the Bulls are fun to watch, and I know I'm supposed to be lose, make sure you lose. But, you know, when you hear Mike Malone call them the best running team in the league, the only takeaway is that Billy Donovan is one hell of a coach.
Yeah, you got to think he's going to be in consideration for Eastern Conference Coach of the Month. The Bulls are 8-4 this month, and nobody would have expected them to be playing at this pace. And then obviously Kobe White is going to be a leading candidate for Eastern Conference Player of the Month. So yeah, it's been entertaining basketball. Certainly did not expect a 4-2 trip. And I will say, guys, you know, Mike, you alluded to the Malone quote. They've obviously played this style all year, and they've been top five in pace. They're currently third all season. Shoot a lot of threes. They're top three in both makes and attempts. This is the first sustained trip where I was like, literally watching them overwhelm teams in the fourth quarter. I mean, the Lakers wanted nothing to do with the Bulls in the fourth quarter. Last night, the Bulls outscored the Nuggets 34-24 in the fourth quarter. You talk to the players, and they almost like relish the fact that they feel like they're the best conditioned team in the league, and they're just playing at this incredibly fast-paced style. Billy Donovan is using a 10 or 11 player rotation to keep guys as fresh as he can, and they're doing this with three significant injuries, so Lonzo Ball, Iotasumu, and now Trey Jones. So it's pretty impressive stuff that we're watching.
What's been the most surprising aspect of this Bulls resurgence, KC, and is that part of what you've seen sustainable?
I would say it's a close race between Kobe's jump and Giddey's play, but I'm going to lean towards Giddey's play, and I do think it's sustainable. Josh Giddey was not a very good player to start the season, whether that was adjusting to a new city, a new team, new teammates, a trade, what have you. He looked unathletic at times. He looked, obviously his shot was not where it is now. You know, Billy Donovan was not using him in the closing rotation to start the season. It was like a repeat of why the Thunder traded him. Well, that's not the only reason the Thunder traded him, but it's one of them. And the level that he is playing at, and a big part of it to me, guys, is not only is his defensive activity and physicality improved, but he has stopped shooting that floater, and he's going all out at the rim. I mean, he's getting the line 10, 11 times a game, going through contact, playing physically at 6'8". He used to shoot that floater all the time in the lane and miss it more often than not. He's not doing that anymore. And so that's why I think it's sustainable, because I've talked to him about that, and he said, yeah, this is just what I realized I needed to do and my mindset. And so that should be really encouraging if you're a Bulls fan.
I got to tell you, between him, Kobe White, and Matas, that dunk, the behind-the-back flyby on Luka and then getting the ball down, that was – it gives him this look. That was extraordinary. And it's like, I know he keeps saying he wants to be the best player ever. I love hearing that stuff. And I think we're watching player development. And, you know, I hate to say this because, I like you, I have a lot of respect – for Zach LaVine, but it's almost like opened up the floor and changed their team, and they got a lot of young guys that are really kind of growing as players.
Yeah, I mean, you got Dalen Terry in the closing lineup and playing the final 17 minutes last night. You've had seen flashes from Julian Phillips, and I'm glad you brought up the player development, because Peter Patton and his staff really deserve a lot of credit for the time they've invested into these players and this organization. But it's funny you bring up that Matas play, Mike, because he really kind of downplayed it post-game in L.A. Because he was just like, you know, it's just another basketball play, you know. And then I caught up with him yesterday after shoot-around in Denver. I sat down with him for about 10 minutes, and I was talking about a bunch of stuff, but I brought up that play. I was like, come on, man. You can't downplay that. He goes, yeah, that was pretty nice. he knew it was, you know, NBA, NBA's Twitter account tweeted it. I mean, like, their own social media team tweeted it. So he knew that one kind of swept the league. That was pretty nasty.
You know, Casey, when they are this exciting and entertaining at this stage of the season, obviously you don't want the season to end. Ultimately it will, and you look ahead. Cap-wise, what are we looking at in this offseason in terms of, is this going to be an aggressive approach to free agents? Can they even do that? What do you expect in terms of roster turnover? Because you look at core pieces, the Giddey contract's important. Holding on to Kobe is now important. You've got Modest. You've got the draft pick. But beyond that, can they be aggressive in free agency?
No. Right. They can't. I mean, Giddey's the number one order of business. We were actually talking about this in the media room in Denver yesterday before when we were waiting for shoot-around to end as a beat group. We count 14 guaranteed contracts for next season, assuming Giddey's re-signed. And look, if you want to change this roster drastically, you got to make trades. And I'm not sure what I see out there trade-wise. I mean, I know that they've revisit the Vucevic talks around the league, because look, they have three centers under contract and all three of them have played well. I mean, Zach Collins in the starting role played very well. Jalen Smith hadn't fallen out of the rotation and comes in and puts up a double-double in 13, 14 minutes last night and was instrumental to that victory. He's re-signed for next season. So unless you get creative with trades, I see largely this team intact. Now the big one and the really dicey one is Kobe White, because he has completely outplayed this contract. And that was once a positive story in the sense that it was a team-friendly contract, could come back to bite the Bulls, because there's a rule in the CBA where you can only re-sign a guy at 140% of what he made. Well, Kobe's going to get way more than that on the open market. So he's through next season. But, like, I'm not saying this is something that they will do, because obviously he's a foundational piece. But, like, if you don't think you can re-sign him in after next season, do you proactively try to canvass his value around the league this summer? I mean, that's the way front offices have to think. Now, again, I'm not suggesting the Bulls want to or will trade Kobe White. I'm just saying these are the decisions they have to face. But they're going to have to get creative in the trade market if they're going to change this roster.
KC, they'll include him in the Giannis deal, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Would you trade him?
Man, that's a tough one. I would not, just because every time you think Kobe's hit a ceiling, he comes back.
Yes, I agree. Yes. I'm with you.
He's so much better this year than he was last year, and he really played well last year. He looks like an all-star. Honest to God.
But I agree with you, KC. You said on TV last night, I don't think you can give him the most improved player because that was last year's window, and it kind of closed. You just have to accept the improvement for what it is, and he's made himself into an all-star player.
No question.
Yeah, but I would say, kind of like what you guys were, if you'd asked me that like 2 or 3 months ago, I would have said, you know what, as much as I love Coby White, I think you do need to see what his value is because of that contract situation and because he probably represents your best chance for change. But, man, Billy was really eloquent post-game about him last night, saying, like, what I love about him so much is he never looks outward. He always looks inward, and he just challenges himself to get better and to make the team better. He has become a leader, so no, I would not trade him. I would just get really creative with how you can sign him after next season.
Well, I'm glad you didn't mess up his mojo by asking him a question because of his superstition before the game about how he felt about being the player of the week.
It's crazy. I mean, you guys got to respect these guys' different idiosyncrasies. It took me a while to figure out Caruso last year. In fact, one time he kind of snarled at me when I went up to him pregame. And then PR's like, yeah, Alex doesn't want to talk pregame anymore. I was like, okay, well, why didn't you tell me? So I didn't get my head bitten off. And now Toby's in that same way. He's in that same zone. But, yeah, he's pretty funny with the media otherwise, as long as you don't get him pregame.
I was watching just some of their video that they put out. These guys really get along. I mean, you know, when someone's interviewing someone and someone's yelling from the window and another guy's standing there watching, it just feels like they really have this team thing down. I know we're supposed to want them to lose, but it's just extraordinary to see these young guys play the way they're playing and the way they're bonding as teammates.
Well, it's funny you'd say that because that was one part of my 10-minute conversation with Modest yesterday after shoot-around in Denver. He was telling me, I was asking him about exactly that. Like, do you think you fell into, like, kind of the perfect situation because of how selfless this team is and how embracing this team is of young players and the veteran leadership you have from guys all the way, even guys behind the scenes. Like, I don't think Talen Horton Tucker and Javon Carter get enough credit for how good of teammates they are. I mean, I try to prop them up when I can, but those dudes are incredible professionals. And Modest singled or talked about both those guys at length, among others. But to your point, Molly, it's like, he said, I love these guys. And the fact that they have accepted me and embraced me and pushed me and helped me, and he said, I could not have been in a better situation. And the fact that it's in my hometown makes it even more special. So, It is a fun team to be around, I'll tell you that. There's a nice energy to it. It's young. Vooch has talked about this too, how it's kind of rejuvenated him a little bit. So, I mean, look, it's March NBA basketball. Sometimes that can get a little silly and skewed, but for now, just enjoy the way they're playing because the style of basketball that they're playing is really fun to watch on a nightly basis.
Quickly before I let you go, what is best case for this team in terms of looking at the play-in or playoffs, and what is realistic?
I mean, well, there is no best case because if they went out of the play-in, they're going to get destroyed by Cleveland. So, I mean, like, that's one on the ledger of the side of those who said, why not chase Cooper Flag, right?
I mean,
because this is fun, and I'm you can hear I'm excited because it was a fun game last night, great trip, fun basketball to watch, but what are we doing here? I mean, they're not going to be
so
Cleveland,
true.
Right?
So true. I love it.
That's kind of the reality. But, you know, I mean, if they win 2 play-in games and make the playoffs, Arturis and the organization believe that's organizational development too for these young players. So let's see where it goes.
You're the best, KC. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, KC.
All right, guys. A lot of fun. Thanks.
That is KC Johnson. I'm telling you, you know, he's covered some bad teams. It's a different vibe. He's right.
Yeah, it is. And it's got to be refreshing to have this unexpected spurt of success.
We're going to talk to Mike Florio next. It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
My
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We can't be beat!
We can't be beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
What's that? Gator!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a lot of fun to talk to our guy Mike Florio, and he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm just making sure that all of my text threads are properly secured and no reporters are being added to it accidentally or otherwise.
Smart.
It's always important.
Smart business.
It's always important to make sure that all the phone numbers on that text thread are only the phone numbers that are supposed to be. I've learned that the hard way.
It's good practice. It's good practice.
Yes. Oh, you're the best.
So I wonder who you're texting about yesterday's pro day. Cam Ward, impressive for the U, impressive for the Titans. They took him out to dinner. Left no doubt, he said, about who the number one quarterback will be taken. I wonder what you thought of that. And then Shedeur Sanders, at least Deion says the Giants are where he wants to be. Do they know that? And how do you see this unfolding?
Well, I'll start with Cam Ward. At a certain point, one of these guys is just going to not do his pro day. Like, what's the point? The Titans are already going to take him. You're adding incremental risk of injury. And I know the risk is small, and these guys think they're going to be able to overcome any and all adversity and never get injured and never grow old and never die. I mean, that's how you feel when you're in your early 20s. I get it. But he took a risk by doing the pro day. He really is incredible in his ability to fire the ball with the flick of the wrist, moving left, throwing it the other way. He's like Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have to have his body under him. He doesn't have to have a base. He doesn't have to do the mechanics. He can just let it fly. And I'll be stunned if he's not the first overall pick in the draft of the Titans. I'll be stunned if they trade him. And if they do trade him, I'll be stunned if it's anybody but Cam Ward at number one. With Shedeur Sanders, it was such a weird thing that happened. Deion was in Chicago for something called ProMat 2025, a supply chain conference. He was a keynote speaker, which meant somebody paid Deion a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was last Wednesday that he said of Shedeur, we're hoping for New York. Now, that's Giants or Jets. There's no record of it. There's no video of it. It's just a guy who was there sharing his characterization of what was said on social media, and it just takes off everywhere. The Agrobot sites and accounts start posting it, and everybody just believes that it's 100% gospel truth. And we weren't going to do anything with it until I saw it everywhere. So we did something saying, hey, look, this isn't actually verified and complete. And why isn't there video of these comments? And why weren't reporters there to hear what he had to say? I mean, hell, for all anyone knows, he could have made the case for Travis Hunter to play for the Bears. It's in Chicago. You guys got newspapers there. Why wasn't anybody covering this thing? It's just odd to me, and it's treated as 100% accurate that Deion said he's hoping for New York, and everybody just assumed that that means the Giants. The Jets need a long-term answer at quarterback, too. It could be them.
I am fascinated by the quarterback thing. Like, I have no idea, is Rodgers holding up the Steelers? Is he going to go there? Where is he going to end up? Could he not play? And then it doesn't matter. You've got to get a quarterback regardless. So what happens with Jackson Dart? You know, is the third quarterback moving up the charts because the other two guys are gone? It is just so bizarre to me.
Nothing makes quarterbacks get overdrafted like need. And we always hear that teams will say, we're taking the best available without regard to need. Your needs shape your assessment of the best available players. It's impossible to separate the two. We really need a quarterback. Therefore, the best available player is this quarterback. So there's just enough teams that are still in that no man's land of who's their quarterback going to be, led by the Steelers, although we think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers. And the one thing that I have noticed in recent days, there is a lot of pushback. I'm getting it directly into my email box. I'm seeing tweets. I'm hearing from people about this concern that Steelers fans don't want Aaron Rodgers. And I had a very meaningful email from someone overnight explaining that just it's a cultural thing. The Steelers don't do this kind of thing. They don't sell their souls for a carpetbagger who's coming in with the clear goal of going out with a bang. So this is the team that helps me end my career the way I want. It's not about the Steelers, it's about him. And I think that's the thing that's rubbing some Steelers fans the wrong way.
Right.
Because in this age of free agency and everybody moves around all the time, guys, this idea that the Steelers have always been built from within, reward your own, groom your own guys. And also there's this notion that they're bringing in a guy who was a Jets reject. We're the Steelers. We don't want the Jets reject.
I hear you. Makes a lot of sense. So let's go look at another quarterback. Kirk Cousins says he's going to delay what he does until later after the draft, perhaps. Is there a scenario that you see as closely as you pay attention to the Vikings where he could return to Minnesota and be the mentor for J.J. McCarthy and an insurance plan for Kevin O'Connell?
I doubt it, because at this point, the exit from Atlanta would entail being the starter somewhere else. And he's got that no trade clause, which gives him the ultimate ability to prevent any trade. And he's reportedly waiting until after the draft because he doesn't want to have what happened to him last year happen to him again this year, where, hey, I've waived my no trade clause, I am the starter for the Cleveland Browns, and then boom, they take Shedeur Sanders at number two. And I'm just using the Browns as an example.
Right.
You get the rug pulled out from under you again. So he wants to wait. And I think he's got a lot of leverage here too. He could actually end up getting paid more than the $27.5 million. Think of it this way. Team is desperate for a starter. Draft has come and gone. Cousins is willing to waive his no-trade clause if, but only if, the new team is going to sweeten the pot. Otherwise, I'm not waiving the no-trade clause. You want me? You want me to be your starter? $27.5 million isn't enough. And they can say, well, but you made $62.5 million last year from the Falcons. And Cousins can say, I don't care. You want me now, this is what it's going to cost. And we know that, above all else, Cousins has worked the business angle of the quarterback position to perfection. And I think he's still got one play left, and it may play out after the draft.
Mike, you're living the dream. You've got it all going, and I just learned that you have your brother-in-law, the Tomorrow's Bakery, has the best pepperoni roll in Harrisburg County. Can you imagine?
It's Harrison County.
Harrison, I'm sorry.
And it's all, and I'll take it even farther than that. It's the best pepperoni roll in all of West Virginia. It is the traditional Italian coal miner food where the pepperoni is baked into the bread. Because, you know, you can imagine being underground with all the dust and the dirt and all that crap. You're trying to eat a sandwich and your tomato's falling out. This is all self-contained loaf with pepperoni, and it's awesome.
That's fantastic.
And you can order them at Gold Belly if you want them in Chicago.
Okay, great. We'll do that. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
I'll send you some.
Good stuff.
Go on. Here we go.
All right.
We'll pay you for it. All right, buddy. How about that? The best pepperoni. Doesn't a pepperoni roll? I don't know about you because you don't like a hot dog, but a pepperoni roll.
I like
sounds
pepperoni
like a,
rolls.
Sounds like a good lunch.
I think it's a great commercial.
That's fantastic. Well done. It's Mully and Hall, we got Bruce. Bruce Levine's going to join us next. We got opening day in a couple of days. Who's playing for the White Sox? Who is playing for the Cubs? These are questions Bruce has the answer to. Mully and Hall on the score.